Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. And now, celebrating 15 years of broadcasting, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Whether you're tuning in on the radio dial here in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM or WYADonline.com, we're glad you all could join us. Also, those tuning in through online affiliates around the world, including our iHeartRadio family, we're glad to have all of you with us as well. We're excited to welcome Tazelle Muir Harmony to our program today. She's celebrating the release of her new book called Apollo to the Moon. It is a fascinating look, not only, of course, at the history of Apollo 11, but also what it was like for people who covered it, what it was like for those who were involved, but also what that meant for us as humanity and the steps that were taken then. So we'll talk to Tazelle not only about that, but also her own love of history and what it's been like for her now to share that with all of us in this new book. Tazelle, hello to you and welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, excited to speak with you, Tazelle. First of all, congratulations to you on this book. I mean, another great book from National Geographic to be able to give us, I think, not only, of course, a great glimpse through pictures of the history of Apollo 11, but also the stories as well. What has it been like for you already, Tazelle, to see the way that people are responding to the book?
Oh, it's been so gratifying, and one of my favorite parts has been that people share their stories with me, so their experience with the Apollo program or enthusiasm for space or growing up loving following shuttle flights. And so it's been so nice because I spent all this time writing the book, writing all these stories, and now I get to hear everyone's stories who read the book. Yeah. And it inspires them to share them with me. It's been wonderful.
For sure. Well, outside of writing, I should mention also, Tazelle, that you also are the curator at the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum. So I guess an obvious question would be, you have your own love, of space and space history. When did you first discover that was something that fascinated you?
When I was a child, I loved the history of astronomy and learning about astronomers, and so it's been a long-term interest of mine.
I think one of the most interesting things for me when I was reading the book, Tazelle, and we're going to let our audience know at the end how they can get their own personal copy, was how other people were able to cover the history that took place. In chapter 26 of the book, Walter Cronkite, who all of us, of course, think about when it comes to some of the major news stories that happened in the world, he, of course, was one of those individuals who was covering this for CBS. One thing I did not know, and thanks to your book now, I can add that wrinkle to my brain, Tazelle, is that there were over 1,000 people who were contributing to that coverage just at CBS alone. And then, of course, what Walter Cronkite had to say about the experience. What was it like for you to hear these backstories of those who were actually not only involved, but also who were covering this as it was happening?
Each person who was involved in the program has a fantastic story, and that's one of the things I wanted to share with the book, is to use the artifacts as a way to dive deep into some of these stories you don't hear about so much. So often we'll focus on the astronauts and what was going on the moon or mission control, but there were hundreds of thousands of people involved in Project Apollo in various ways, and learning more about Cronkite's story and the way that thousands of people got involved in making sure that everyone could watch the flight. So 95% of American households tuned in to watch the first lunar landing. And that is made possible because of all these, all this background work on all the efforts of CBS and NBC and the radio stations that were covering the flight as well.
Right. And as you mentioned, the objects are so important for this. And I should say the subtitle of Tazelle's new book is A History in 50 Objects. One of those objects, another one that I never thought about, of course, we know it definitely is necessary to have, Tazelle, was covered in chapter 39 in the book, and that being the medical kit. What I love also, again, because this is National Geographic, of course, we pay attention to the photos, and there's this great photo on page 235 of Megan Geard, who's actually repairing a tear in the medical kit there. I mean, what was it like for you to kind of even think about those details, like the medical kit, and now, of course, its purpose, but also how it was kind of there to provide help for them if they needed it.
Yeah, there's this whole chapter on accidents and overcoming catastrophe, and there was so many ingenious solutions to dealing with problems when they arose. So there were things like the medical kit, so that if someone got hurt, injured, or hurt in space, they'd have the materials necessary to address those problems. But then there are great examples. I love this lunar rover fender repair, which was created out of maps and duct tape that they had on board. And so they sent duct tape aboard with the astronauts so that they could, if something happened, you know, duct tape's a great thing to have. So that's just a wonderful dimension of the program and sort of just demonstrates how much thought and planning had to go into not only expecting to get things right, but, you know, what happens if things go wrong?
Right. I think that is it. Speaking of that, the right and the wrong of it, I think 45 is another big chapter, Giselle, that being the main parachute, right? And there's a great quote from Michael Collins that talks about, you know, that you could survive a water landing with two good ones, but, hey, three looks oh so much better. You know, to think about quotes like that and to marry them with pictures like we're able to see on page 267, do you hope that that kind of gives us, you know, those who may have just, you know, generally know about what happened with Apollo 11, give us a more in-depth look of not only the experience, but also, you know, what they were dealing with?
Yeah, and I use a lot of quotes in the book because I feel like it makes it more personal. You get a sort of sense of being there, and there's all this wonderful material to draw on, oral histories and transcripts from the time, and I really want readers of the book to get a sense of what it might have been like to be an astronaut on the program, to be a contract worker in the program, you know, all the different people involved, sort of give them a more intimate look.
And I think that definitely comes across. So I think, too, you know, the other thing, things that we may take for granted, Giselle, like shaving, right? I mean, there's a great chapter on that and even a great photo of one of the astronauts shaving there. When people do pick up this book, and, of course, many people will pick it up just for the pictures, as we do a lot of books, right, from Natural Geographic, but the stories are definitely there. What do you hope they get as far as the appreciation, not only, of course, for what this moment meant for Apollo 11, but also what it meant for all of us now in 2018?
Mm-hmm. Well, often people think of Apollo as a technological or scientific achievement, and it was, but there were so many different dimensions of it. And so I was hoping through the artifacts that I selected to help reveal some of those other sides of the program and its other significance. And one of the artifacts is was used to take the whole Earth image on Apollo 17. So this picture it takes, it's gorgeous, it's of the entire Earth. And it symbolized a lot of things for people at the time, so a sense of unity. And a lot of people talked about Project Apollo as helping people realize that we're all on this Earth together, there are no political boundaries from space, and that we really need to work together and to take care of our Earth. And so those types of messages and something like the Hasselblad camera, you know, allows us to dive deep into those kinds of stories, and then looking at them all, stepping back, and you get a much fuller picture of a program that was complex, it was political, and it involved gender history and labor and all these different cultural and social dimensions, as well as technology and engineering.
Right. Well, it's a great history. It's a great book, Giselle. Congratulations to you. Again, everyone, Giselle Muir Harmony has been our guest. Apollo to the Moon is a new book, A History in 50 Objects, available now through our friends at Amazon.com or through your favorite bookstore. Giselle, really appreciate this time and looking forward to having you back on with us again.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
You do the same thing. Thank you. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late, you missed part of the conversation with Giselle. Don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media site. So head over to Facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go to Twitter.com/CyrusWeb. If you click on the link there, you can listen to the show completely for free and share with your friends from there, too. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music, as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. Let's make it a great one.